Using automated enforcement to catch noise polluters. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino. Cities from New York and D.C. to Knoxville and Albuquerque are studying a new way to address noise pollution, installing what looks like an army of radio reporters on the streets. Okay, they're actually noise cameras with giant microphones that activate when a loud car passes by, snap a photo, and issue a ticket. Erica Walker is an epidemiologist at Brown University and founder of the Community Noise Lab, and she's skeptical of these devices.
So I'm probably the odd man out here, but I don't necessarily think that noise cameras are the right way to do things. It could work in certain situations. For me, I like to kind of take a step back. So in a lot of my research, we have looked at noise complaints and the distribution of noise complaints over the city. And we see that noise complaints can be used to target certain parts of a community that people deem to be undesirable. Haven't seen that and seen things like age and race being factors that influence, you know, people's complaints. I just kind of feel like noise cameras can unnecessarily target certain people in the community. It's important for us to strike a balance between, you know, sound levels that can cause harm, but we also want to appreciate the cultural aspects, the acoustical culture of a community. And I think that we don't want every city or every community to sound the same. And so when I think about these kind of measures to thwart noise pollution, I think about what it does to the heterogeneity of a community. You know, there are some communities that just sound a certain way. There are some communities that like to sit out on their porches and play music, have parties. You know, these are cultural elements and they're important to preserve.
When it comes to noise pollution that is actually harmful, do certain communities bear a higher burden?
Absolutely. Transportation, not only cars, but buses and airplanes and subways, they're all significant contributors to the acoustical environment, the acoustical soundscape. And so who usually lives in those communities where there are major transportation networks, where there's major industrial operations is usually poor people, right? And so by virtue of the way we plan our cities, we put poor people in areas that are loudest because they're closest to the highways, they're closest to the industrial plant.
What do you think can be done to address the danger without sort of, you know, impeding some of the positive aspects of a city's soundscape that you talked about?
We need to kind of take a step back and think about how we plan our cities. But we also need to, like, sound, when we go from sound to noise, it's one of those few environmental exposures where conversation is required. In order for us to name something noise pollution, we need to figure out what are the unwanted aspects. I think we need to kind of go back to the way we used to do things by getting out into communities, having conversations with people. We're not going to solve this by putting sensors up everywhere. And it's just a very, very, very superficial mechanism for a very deep historical structural issue with urban planning and what we've decided to put in communities next to whom. So, like, I like to think about, you know, as a noise researcher, I always say that I'm very much anti-quiet. I think that as a community, when we come to the table with solutions, I think that we should be more anti-quiet and more pro-peace. And in that, peace requires some sort of negotiation. And in those negotiations, the community may agree that a noise camera is the right way to go. But I just don't think that they should be arbitrarily put in neighborhoods where people complain, because complaints have its own history. And putting noise cameras in places where people can complain could just exacerbate the situation even further.
Tell me more about this transition from sound to noise that you mentioned.
So sound is just basically anything that we can process through our auditory system. It could range from thunderstorms to ambulance sirens. Noise is when that individual reaches that threshold where it goes from being pleasant to unpleasant. So it's any types of sounds in our environment that an individual or community deems to be unwanted.
And how did you end up in this field studying sound and noise?
Oh, boy. So I had my own situation. You know, I'm a former artist. I made furniture and I was a bookbinder. And I lived in this apartment building. It was my home and my studio. So I was basically home 24/7 because my home space was my workspace. And it was quiet until one day I got new neighbors upstairs and they had a small family with two kids. And the kids used to run across their floor, which was my ceiling, was for like 24 hours a day. And in the process, I was going to literally take them to small claims court and get them evicted. And in that process, all of the questions that came up was as I was trying to prepare this court case, you know, I was collecting data. I was like collecting my own saliva samples and sending them off to a laboratory to be tested. I went out and bought a sound meter. Like I just went hardcore. And in that process, I realized a couple of things. Like I realized that there wasn't a lot of people really taking it seriously. And I realized that there were a lot of people suffering from it. So I decided to move out of my apartment, sell off my equipment. And, you know, like I was getting obsessive with it. And someone was like, I really think you should like try this field called public health. Like, I think you could probably get more bang for your buck. And the rest is like history, I guess.
Do you have a different view of sound and noise now that you have studied it so much than back then?
At the time when I was like dealing with my loud upstairs neighbors, I was coming from a place of wanting to punish the offender. But being in the community, getting many different perspectives, it's just made me realize the importance of conversation, the importance of talking to people, you know, because one person's sound, it may be another person's noise and vice versa. And it's really important for us to parse out that before we decide to do anything drastic. We want to leave everyone better off. We don't want to leave any one person or community worse off. So I just try to make sure that I listen. So again, I said I'm more anti-quiet, pro-peace, less sensing and more listening.
Erica Walker at Brown University. And now for some related links. One thing Erica Walker made clear in our conversation is that true noise pollution poses a significant threat to human health. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention say acute and chronic loud noise exposure can cause a number of medical issues, from hearing loss, of course, to sleep deprivation, anxiety, depression, and even heart disease. We'll have a link to the CDC's breakdown of different noise levels and how long of an exposure it takes to cause damage on our website, marketplacetech.org. We'll also link to some coverage of all the cities in the U.S. and globally that are experimenting with these noise cameras. Of course, cars and other vehicles are not the only contributors to noise pollution. In 2019, The Atlantic published a story about the amount of noise produced by technology we rely on every day, the giant data centers that house the servers that support cloud storage. We had the story's author, Bianca Bosker, on the show a few years ago, and she told us about a resident of Chandler, Arizona, who went searching through his neighborhood trying to find the source of a distant low-grade whine that kept him up at night. He figured out it was coming from a local data center that runs air conditioning all day and night to keep the servers cool. And you can imagine, in Arizona, they get pretty hot. You can find more at our website, marketplacetech.org. Rosie Hughes produced this episode. I'm Megan McCarty-Carino, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.